This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Okay, so
I'm the least biblically knowledgeable person here, so I can wrap my head around this. So if I can, everybody else listening can. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. Math in the Greek and all that does say, but the Aramaic says eagle, and you're saying that the eagles are supposed to be like the flock of Christ, right? Is that how I'm understanding it?
No.
Okay, no. So... okay, so I'm way off here. So can you help me maybe try to understand? In one version, it is all verse, I mean, but in the Aramaic, it says eagle. What the difference? Why are they saying eagle then?
Okay, eagle. So the context of what's occurring here, where the body will be where the eagles gather together, okay?
Who's the eagles?
The eagles are the national sigils of the United States and Mexico. The border region between the two countries is where the eagles gather.
Okay.
That's where Raymond Elwood Lear was located when the spiritual return of Christ occurred.
Clark, let me read you this, okay? This might help put things into perspective. For now, in verse 28, he is speaking in the context of the end of the Jewish state and the fall of Jerusalem, which we know happened in 70 AD. It will be a time of great distress. What Jesus is referring to is that the suffering of the Jews under the Roman attack, and particularly those of the inhabitants of Jerusalem during the Roman siege. Just as the presence of a dead body is known because of the vultures where they gather, so heavenly signs, verses 24 through 29, will be undoubted evidence of the corpse of the Jewish nation. The Jewish state with its temple worship will come to an end, and Jerusalem will itself be razed to the ground by the Roman eagle.
The Roman eagle no longer exists. Rome is no longer a kingdom. It does not exist. The sigil for the eagle doesn't apply to what is now the country of Italy. So I don't see how any of these things so loosely interpreted can apply, because it doesn't apply to any of the verses around it either. It doesn't apply.
You don't understand what this does, Clark. But this could very well have fit perfectly in 70 AD, is the point of this article explaining this. Everything in that verse could have fit, just like you're saying it fits now. This could have fit perfectly in 70 AD.
No,
it would
it's
have
not
been describing
same.
Every.
I'll tell you how it's not the same.
Say that, but you can't demonstrate that's not the case.
Let me demonstrate how it's not the same. Look at the verses
Please.
Around it. Did any of these things happen in 70 AD? Did lightning flash and go out from the east and peer onto the west? Did the Son of Man return in 70 AD? Did the sun darken? Did the moon not show its light? Did the stars fall from heaven and the powers of heaven disturbed? Did a sign of the Son of Man in heaven appear? Okay, it could have, but there's no evidence or anyone talking about
how it occurred. And that's the point. right? I think that's the point.
I'm being sarcastic. We don't know that the Son of Man returned now. Like,
we do. We're providing you evidence to show that.
No, you're providing me anecdotes. You're providing me anecdotes and personal experiences that you've had. You're not providing me any evidence, though. I don't think that evidence means what you think it means.
You're looking at a piece of evidence on your screen. Christ's face appearing above the sun.
Come on. There's a piece of evidence right there. Clark.
It's one of many.
Okay, so he appears in pictures above the sun and talks through us through Madonna and Frozen. I mean, do you grasp the gravity of how ridiculous that, I mean, Clark, give me some hard evidence, please. Like, I want you to change my mind right now, but so far this is just getting ridiculous almost. I mean, I have to be honest with you. Seeing his face in the sun and Madonna and Frozen, I mean, do you have any hard evidence, not anecdotes, that could be other things? I could see a horse in that picture that you're showing up on the screen right now. In no way do I see Lord Rael at all in that picture.
I don't see where you're seeing a horse's face there. But there are
show me where you're seeing Rael. Where do you see Rael in that picture?
On the left side of the image over the sun.
Yeah, are you familiar with the what's called pareidolia? Or pareidolia, depending on how you would pronounce it. It's a type of aphrophenia. It's where you see faces and things because we have a visible biological history of seeing faces that when you see something like this, we have a pattern recognition for it.
Machu Picchu is a good example. You can see the it looks like one of the Incas that are lying there, the mountainscape. You're fitting what you want to where you want to fit it is what I'm seeing. Like, I don't see anything independent of just it's like the do you think that people really saw the Virgin Mary in toast? Like, do you think that was real?
I am not familiar with that evidence.
There's a piece of toast famous.
There's a tortilla at the same time, with Jesus.
This is right. What now?
So what I've done is I have requested the clergy to give more evidence on the topic of his control over the sun. I know we have it. I don't have it handy, but they're going to give it to me. So if you're patient, we can move forward to more Torah code evidence, but it's definitely not some piece of evidence that that you could easily dismiss. We've already established that it's scientifically verifiable through peer review. Even if you don't choose to believe that peer review, it is there. We've already demonstrated that as well.
We don't agree with that. Yeah, we don't agree with the fact that you're saying it's peer reviewed. There was one paper that had suggested such a thing, which again was in 1994, which was refuted 5 years later because they couldn't find anything that they even suggested that to be a valid case. So it has not been substantiated by peer review. So that is a demonstrably false statement. And we get very pendant on this show when people make claims like that and not able to substantiate it when they say things like peer review. If it's just conjecture or just belief, that's one thing. But when you actually say it's been scientifically somehow confirmed or has been through a peer review process, that's an entirely different claim.
And I want to be clear. I don't believe any of the evidence that you've put forth so far, like none of it. I'm still holding out that something will convince me, but everything that I've seen so far, I don't think adds up to what you think it adds up to. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe people watching see it differently. Maybe you've convinced some people out there watching, but nothing up until this point that I've seen, I will say, yes, that could be evidence towards Rael being the real deal.
All right. So there's a lot more proof and there's a lot more proof. Is that appropriate?
Sure, but I'm just curious. How are we looking at? Is your considered to be evidential? I don't see any relationship between this face and the image being shown. It's if this is the best Jesus can do to show that, oh, somehow in a NASA photo, there's a face controlling the sun. Do you honestly think that that is that much evidential? Because I'm not seeing this to be evidential in any way, shape, or form personally. And I'm not trying to be disparaging or anything like that, but I like science. This would never be accepted as any kind of scientific evidence whatsoever. Not even
okay, in so case. It's prophetic evidence. It's an image from NASA. So it's scientific evidence. It's an image taken by a publicly accepted source of scientific discovery. It's a fulfillment of a sign where it says there shall be signs in the sun. That actually did occur. There's also proof that over the past 7 years that the sun has been darkening. This has been happening ever since Lord Rael returned. Now I'm seeking information from the clergy of Lord Rael to provide me with some information so that we can prove to you that this has been occurring. And I've been given a video link here. The Mark video is, let's see here if I can load it.
While you're doing that,
the video title is Lord Rael, Solar Flare, Israel, and the United Nations. The minute mark is at 6:35. Now, if you search on YouTube, go ahead and search it on Google or YouTube, Lord Rael, : Solar Flare, that is the video.
Okay, we'll see if Dave can't find that. And Dr. Bowen, go ahead and ask why he finds that video.
No, I just want to make the comment, Clark. I applaud you honestly for coming on here. One, we're asking questions from a bunch of different fields, and it's I can't imagine how difficult it is to be able to respond, given that you're having to kind of rely on a side chat. I just wanted to say this. I understand it's a tough spot you're in, and I appreciate you doing it.
I appreciate the opportunity. And time while we're waiting for that video to queue up or for him to find it, there's also another piece of imagery that does indicate some correlation between the timing of his arrival and events that have been occurring when it comes to signs being fulfilled in regards to Lord Rael. So that image is called Fireballs Data. And it's the only the graph that I've submitted about the number of fireballs in the USA since 2005, dating all the way up to 2015. And this is something that has been occurring ever since Lord Rael said in his public address, "I will rain fire from the sky." And since that time, fireballs in the US and their sightings have increased astronomically. Beyond anything that anyone's ever seen.
Before you go, let me talk to Dave. Dave, I sent you the link to that video that he's talking about in the in Facebook messages. So that's the video. And what time did you say to start it at, Clark?
The timing is at 6:35, according to Bishop Michael Haar.
Okay, so Dave, it's in the message, 6:35.
Thank you, brother.
All right, Steve.
So there's two things I can ask on that. First of all, one of the reasons we see more fireballs is because there's a lot more cameras out there. Cameras all the time on cars, especially in Russia. Everybody has a dash cam. So it's far more prevalent why we're capturing fireballs. And second of all, they're not on fire. What happens is you have ram pressure as you have an entry of a meteor that actually causes compression of the air. That compression of the air causes it to heat up. And it causes a plasma effect and causes ablation of the outside layer material on the meteor. That's why when a meteorite hits the ground, it's still cold. It's not on fire. It's ram pressure creating a plasma. So it's not even a fireball. It's a misnomer.
Okay, so when you see it, you interpret it as a fireball. Now,
but it's not on fire.
What you see is what you get.
But it's not fire. That's like the sun is not fire.
It's creating an intense heat, just like any fireball. Like, what are you gonna call it other than that?
But you don't have fire.
Simple terminology.
The atmosphere, right? I mean,
but to be fair, they wouldn't know that back then. I don't think.
Sure.
Dave, have you found that?
Yes, I have it. Actually.
Okay. All right. Let's see what the solar flare is about. think you said 635.
Let me get it started here in a second. Hold on. Things are getting a little cluttered with all the extras this time.
That's cool.
Dave, you're doing a great job, man.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Love you, mean it. Everybody hashtag thanks, Dave, in the live chat.
So what we're seeing here is an example of a solar flare that was sent right past the Earth after Lord Rael had warned the United Nations not to go forward with dividing Israel. This is a sign in the sun. And that's a quote from a news source.
Okay, so what that video was just a sun spinning around, like what?
No, we're about to see more. Just continue watching
okay.
it.
Okay.
A near real-time image of the sun, a boiling ball of plasma, and this, called Active Region 1302, is blasting away at Earth.
The gun barrel is pointing right at the Earth just about now.
A massive burst of solar particles from this sunspot glanced off Earth yesterday, creating unusually dramatic auroras like these, seen from the space station a few days ago. Experts say Earth is now in the crosshairs, as the revolving sun points AR-1302 our direction. Experts call it the solar storm that won't go away.
All right, go ahead and pause.
We mostly talk about Earth's weather around here, but there is a massive storm.
Pause it right there. I'm being instructed that we should go to the 11:15 mark. This is when Lord Rael removes the danger.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So we don't have to sit through 5 minutes of video.
Okay. Clark, can I ask, what is the passage when you talked about fire raining down from heaven? There are several passages to talk about that. Which one are you referring to?
Give me one moment. I have to look that up.
Sorry.
All right. Dave, we're going to go to 11:35.
11:35. Okay. It's kind of screwy. As soon as I take it off screen, you tell me to go to a different timestamp. Okay, 11:35 coming up.
You have to bear with us. We're all over the place tonight.
Yes, we are.
Doing a great
job.
And
I like it. We're in the trenches.
So Revelation 8:7.
I feel like I'm getting a sermon right now. Are you sure they got the timestamp right?
That's the timestamp out. Well, excuse me. It said 11:15.
Okay. I guess this is where hours later a particular. Okay, here we go. Hours later, in a spectacular display of power, Lord Rael removes the danger. Okay. Do you want to?
That's pretty much where we started now.
Yeah. Do you want to explain how that? How that is.
I believe it needs more context. If we can just keep on playing it just a little bit further.
Okay.
No, it appears to be ending right there. Yeah.
Could I? Okay. Would everybody mind if I just read the passage we're talking about?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Revelation 8:7.
So I'll start it. I'll start at verse 1.
You're talking about raining fire from the sky.
Right. Thank you. Cool. And when he broke the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And then it goes on to the third angel and so on.
You've read far beyond what I was talking about, but if we're going to be specific with verse 7... the first trumpet sounded, and I'm just summarizing, there came hail mixed with fire, mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. So we're talking about all these events occurring within that seven-year period, and it is occurring. Fires are appearing all over the world. There's fire raining down from the sky. There's waters turning to blood. These things have all been occurring over the past 7 years. Now, and if you're going to interpret the context differently than the way things are actually occurring now, that's your prerogative. But it's undeniable that these things, which I've mentioned, which this verse mentions, are occurring now and have been occurring past 7 years.
I'm going to pause you. I'm going to pause you if I can. Again, I think we need to be very, very clear about this. There is a difference between what the text says and how someone interprets it later. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with interpreting something differently later, right? Again, the New Testament authors did this all the time. What I am saying, though, is that if we're looking back at the text in Revelation chapter 8, there is a certain authorial intent that is meant there. And we have to respect that authorial intent and understand it before we can come to it later. Now, when you say I read past the context or read past that verse, the reason that I read past that verse is because there is a context associated with Revelation 8:7. And so by doing so, I want everybody to hear what that context is. Again, if you want to reinterpret that differently than what the original writer of the book of Revelation meant, that's fine. New Testament authors did that all the time. I'll still disagree with both the New Testament authors and with you, but you can do that.
Well,
there's nothing
I'd like to
from
explain.
A biblical standpoint.
I'd like
there's
to
nothing
explain.
Wrong yeah, well, doing that.
We're going to give you a rebuttal, but then after you say what you want to say back, there's two more points that I want to make sure that we get on to that I think are the most important, and I want to make sure that we get time in for those. So go ahead and say what you need to say back, but keep it kind of brief so that we can move to the next, what I think are the most important takeaways here.
Right. Okay. So if I may respond, the way that we interpret prophecy is not simply face value of the text, because according to the events which the apostle spoke of, which were the things that he saw, were not actually the things that are going to happen, but the way that he perceived them happening with his 2,000-year-old eyes, seeing the way things are happening, all cramped together in a short amount of time. And he's trying to write these things down or trying to relay these things down so somebody else can write them. These things were interpreted as they were being written. So you have to understand that this is from a 2,000-year-old perspective. It's condensed. The events which occur over a great deal of time are condensed into small chapters and verses as to what you see today. It's been retranslated over and over and over again. How many years? We're seeing the effects of that now. And to add on top of that, we have Christians who interpret these events in a certain timeline that they must occur in this particular order, when it doesn't say anywhere in the book of Revelation that these things are going to occur in a particular order. It just says that these are the things that he saw as they had happened according to the way that he interpreted them. So
okay,
we can't expect it to be 100% verifiable.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to agree on this.
I do need to say something. One.
Okay. Well, just let's make it.
It very, very quick. Sorry, but this is very important. There is something called apocalyptic genre, right? It's much older than the Book of Revelation is. So to understand the Book of Revelation, one must understand books like Daniel and other apocalyptic literature that stems from the second century and probably a little bit earlier. That's number one. Number two, this book has not been translated and retranslated in the sense that you're referring to it. We have the manuscripts from 250 and on. And so when someone comes to the New Testament text or the Old Testament text, please watch my textual criticism series. They don't look at all the English translations that have come before. They disregard them, right? In a sense, they're coming at the Greek New Testament and the manuscripts themselves and making a new translation based on what we know about linguistics, both Greek and Hebrew, and of course Aramaic as well for the Old Testament.
Okay, now let's talk about where an instance where Lord Ryle didn't quite get it right. We've talked about where he's you say that he's fulfilled all these prophecies. What's the deal with the asteroid that was supposed to hit?
Oh, you're speaking about the asteroid mentioned on the most recent episode that you did?
Yes.
Now that was taken out of context. Nobody actually said that was going to occur on the date that people inferred. It was a possibility that it could have happened. It didn't happen. But there was no prediction from Lord Rael, and there was no prediction from his clergy that it was actually going to happen the way that people interpreted or thought that they would, just the way that Michael had said it on your previous episode.
Okay, well, so this is a good way to kind of clear the air, I guess. So will you take us through what that that context that was said in, and the circumstances that that was kind of brought up?
Bringing up the possibility that God's wrath could strike us all down at any moment is not unusual in our group. We bring these kinds of things up all the time. If we're going to make a solid prediction, it's going to be clear. This was not a solid prediction. It was not made that clear. It was just another example of something that could happen. And that's the way that it was brought up. I asked
but
for clarity.
You have the guy that's going to do it.
No,
you have the guy that's going to do happened? It in the group.
I could predict like tomorrow there possibly could be an earthquake. So what?
It was on Facebook.
But he has Jesus.
It was on Facebook. You're talking about Facebook. You're not talking about Twitter. Lord Rael did not tweet anything about that. Okay?
That's not my point. Couldn't you have cleared that up? Like, why are you having to guess what the wrath that could happen when you have the guy that's supposed to be here doing the wrath right there amongst you?
Yeah, Clark. If I'm psychic or if I have divine knowledge. Wait. If I have divine knowledge, if I'm Jesus and I know it's going to have an earthquake tomorrow or not, I wouldn't make it probabilistically. I'm not going to say on a tweet, "Hey, tomorrow I predict there might possibly be an earthquake." What would be the point to that? That has no predictive ability. That says absolutely nothing. Okay. That's a stated something that we all know. There's a possibility of an earthquake. Anybody can say that.
You guys are bombarding me with questions and not allowing me to answer. Let me answer one of these questions at a time, please.
It's one general question.
Okay. Now let me answer.
Clear it up for you.
Let me
clarify our one general question. When you have the guy that's supposed to take the wrath out on you, why are you sitting around guessing what possibilities there could be in terms of punishing this world?
Repeat the question, please. I'm sorry. Why am I guessing?
Jesus is here, correct, to enact wrath on us, right? That's what you said earlier.
No, I never said Jesus, but I understand the point you're trying to
make.
Well,
I mean, sorry. That you're correct. You're correct. That's my bad. Lord Rael, he has come back to enact revenge or justice. So if the asteroid thing came justice from people accurate. Just but if people the asteroid thing came from people just kind of speculating what could wipe us all out, you have the person that's going to do the wiping out there amongst you. Why
this
do you
is
have
letting
to
people know that these are, okay, I'll tell you. These are the events which people are showing could occur because people need to be woken up to the fact that these things could happen at any moment. There's a reason why there's a news report saying that this could happen. It's not because it's fake science or fake news. These things actually could happen. And we're letting people know, wake up, the time's coming any moment. We're not saying we're going to reveal it to you at a certain time when it's going to happen. We're saying you might not have the benefit of such a prediction. It might just happen, and it might just kill all your family.
But basically, you're giving them the same information that NASA is giving them, you know, in terms of like asteroids heading to Earth.
Scroll through the congregations yourself. You can see our social media, and you can see a lot of things which are occurring and which things which could occur. Mixed together, there's all kinds of news reports showing that we're in the end times, and there's other news reports showing that things could be over at any moment. Yes, that's a mix of all those topics. We are in the end times.
Last question on this, though. What's the benefit to the congregation of just people coming up with ideas of how the world could end? Like, how does that tie into?
It's not just coming up with an idea. We're reporting what other people have already reported. We're showing you exactly what's out there in public source media. If it's not a fact, then it's something that could inevitably happen. And these things we're not just pulling out of thin air.
Right. That's my point. You're getting it from science, from possibilities that science has put forth, not the deity. Like these are things that science has put forth. Examples. You just said it.
I'm telling you that is many of the things that we do show. But at the same time, like you said, like we all agreed that Lord Rael has a Twitter. He has tweeted things before they occurred. At the same time, we also have Bible codes which accurately predict. But here's the thing. None of our people, none of our clergy are going to predict events before they occur without the backing of divine authority. They're not going to say something that they don't know is 100% true. So our people are not going to make their own predictions. They don't have the authority to do that. But they will relay what our Lord says, and they will relay what the Heavenly Father says through the Bible, and that includes through the Bible code.
Okay. Okay, last section. Suppose there's someone out there watching that decides that you have made a case for Lord Rael being this deity. What is it that Lord Rael demands of his followers? What is the, like, where do they go from here? What is the life-changing protocols, steps, SOP that you guys in that order take?
So the number one rule that you're talking about, right? Like the thing that guides us in everything that we do. That's what you're asking for?
Well, I'm asking about how their life will change, like what they do next, Lord Rael asks of them. Like, do you have to move? Do you have to, sell, all of your belongings? Like, what happens when you decide that you want to follow Lord Rael?
Okay. All right. I'd love to answer that question. Before I give you an answer, can I ask your, I forget the guy's name, but your media guy, to go ahead and cycle through the images that I've given so that we're not stuck on the same image the whole time? At least one every minute.
Sure.
At least. Thank you.
Dave, just play a slideshow.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Because there is more, and if we'll let the audience see, everything that I've given to you for that purpose. Now, when it comes to people's lives changing, when it comes to people in the United States, which I think everybody in this interview is in the United States. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we've all been asked to leave. and to leave the United States for our own safety, physical and spiritual safety. There are influences in your country which could drag you down to a precipice, both spiritual and physical. You could die. The people close to you will die. Everybody who you care about in that country will perish if they stay there. That is something that's been long established ever since Lord Rayl's first address, and that's something that we adhere to ever since we were called to Exodus. Now, when it comes to people's lives changing, the things that they have to give up, you don't have to give up all your material possessions. You don't even have to do anything beyond giving 10%, which is what the Bible commands. 10%, tithing. 10% of your income goes toward the priesthood, the efforts of the priesthood. That's been long established biblically. That remains a constant today. Not 100%, 10%. That's not very much. That's far less than the taxes that you would have to pay to your government. So also, how would be life changing? Well, you'd live in a practically a paradise down here, safe from all the chastisements which are occurring in the rest of the world. And at the same time, you'd be living it up with whatever money you have from America in a third world country where your dollar goes a hell of a lot further. That's a fact. We could live a lot better collectively too, but you know, people can choose to live how they want to. They can pull their resources together into small groups, or they could live on their own, or they could live with their family. It's up to them, but they've been asked to leave. If they don't leave, there's consequences. If they do leave, there's consequences. Of course, which consequences are worse? That's up to you to decide. And it might end up being too late for people to decide very soon. We're seeing already Trump is threatening to close the borders to Mexico because of the issue with the migrant crisis, which was predicted. So there's one piece that people need to remember, and that's we're only asking people to do one thing when it comes to their spirituality. We're not asking people to worship Rayl. We're not asking people to read and know every verse in the Bible. That's up to you to decide. You could actually believe whatever you want to believe, really, but observe the facts and follow these two simple rules. Love God and love each other.
Can I ask you, Clark? I'm old. I'm like the oldest one here, right? I'm pushing 49. And I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of doomsday things come and go. Matter of fact, I think that they said like since the 70s, I was born in just literally after the 60s, there's been like 45 major catastrophes that I've lived through. Some of them pretty significant, like December 13th was, I believe it was, for the Mayan calendar on 2012. And the Jupiter effect, which I believe was back in the 1976 or 78, it was predicted. I think it was supposed to come to fruition in the early 80s. Didn't happen. Literally every prediction that's ever been made for the end of the earth, guess what? It hasn't happened, or any even kind of catastrophic things for the United States. I'm still alive. If I had heeded,
the one.
Let me finish. If I had heeded any one of those predictions, I would have basically looked like an idiot, right? So, you're saying that this somehow is saying, get out of the United States, based upon what you're saying, but it rings the same of every other prediction that people have made that has been wrong. And there's no reason why I should, or anybody else should listen to this, as opposed to the 45 other ones that I've had to listen to over the last 49 years. Can you see that?
This is the one, though. This is the one.
All right, I'm going to answer that question. Well, how is it different from anything over the past 45 years? Well, guess what?
Yes.
Raymond Elwood Lear was born in the 60s. So actually, this has been occurring within his lifetime. It's been getting gradually worse. All these disaster events all over the world. You could look at the numbers, look at the graphs, look at the statistics. Things have been getting worse exponentially since that time. But since the last 7 years, things have gotten much, much worse. And all the things that Rayl said he would do, he has done since he said he was going to do it.
Mm. Here's something else you said that was interesting. You said that you can believe whatever you want to believe. Doesn't that go against everything the last spirit that was here, Jesus? Doesn't that go against everything that he said?
No, he said the two most important commandments were to love our Father and to love each other. That's summarized. He said those are the sure, two the, most the, important the, commandments.
Those may be two things that he said, but that's not all that he said.
No, you're right. He did give very wise advice on how to follow those two commandments.
Also, how the instructions for getting to heaven are pretty important. He died for that. That's a big thing with him. He was crucified for that very reason. So now you're saying that we can believe whatever we want to believe, as long as we love God and love each other. When did he change his mind?
He didn't change his mind, actually. He's expecting people to be wise enough to understand.
Okay, now here's
what happens.
Hold on. Can you believe whatever you want to believe or not?
You're allowed to believe whatever you want. That doesn't give you a pass into heaven. It doesn't bind you to hell either. Believe whatever you want, but follow the proof, follow the facts. That's just simple logic. He expects us to be wise enough to observe the facts. That's what you need to change your life for is the truth. Believe whatever you want, but move your life in the direction of where the truth would guide you.
That sounds good.
I could believe everything the book stands for. No, it doesn't, because the Bible doesn't say anything about believing in fairies or unicorns or extraterrestrials.
But
it doesn't say anything about
that. But an equivalent. He wants you to believe in an equivalent to a unicorn and a fairy, which is a god.
I mean, the whole point
is the same thing.
The whole point of Christianity is you believe Christ died for your sins. And having faith that he is the Son of God, you can be redeemed. Is that not the narrative?
I don't believe that Christ... Here's what I'm going to say about my personal beliefs. I don't believe that. Okay? What I do believe is that Christ did die on the crucifix, that the reason for his death is much more complicated than just simply dying for my sins. Because it's actually just saying that he died for my sins, is contrary biblically to what the Old Testament says. It actually says in the Old Testament that no man can die for another man's sins. So really,
so
there's something more.
Yeah, no man, but he was more than the man. That
there's something
no point.
More,
he was not just it's man. More, the narrative.
Sorry, but that's
it's more.
Sorry,
just
that's, just,
God.
That's just
and
this
makes
that,
no sense. Yeah, that's
yeah. It makes no sense to me either. I'm not even a Bible guy. This makes no sense,
Clark. This is incorrect. Like just across the board, incorrect.
I'm going to tell you. I'm just telling you what I believe. Okay, I'm not telling you what is gospel.
Hold on.
Again, you're
listen,
asking me as
listen,
a
listen, I know that. But look, you're
let me finish
you're
my point.
To,
before you cut
hold
me
on,
off.
Hold on.
Let me
I don't want people
point.
I don't want people
I'm
to
just
get
trying
confused.
To finish
I'm just
point.
Gonna clarify something. I'm gonna let you finish your point. Just chill out for a second. Just chill out. I'm gonna let you finish your point. But you're expecting to convince people to follow Lord Rael, who is the same spirit as the individual that, as you said earlier, entered Jesus 2,000 years ago. And you're saying now that you don't believe that Jesus died for their sins, even though that is the entire story of the Bible is the redemption on the cross. Like that is the crux of that religion. So that spirit just got it wrong, or there was more to it? Like,
okay,
I'm confused.
I know you're asking. You're asking for clarification. I was trying to clarify. So please let me finish. When you simplify things and to say that Christ simply died for our sins, that is vastly oversimplifying what he did, okay? So when I say I don't believe that, I'm saying I believe it's much more complicated than that, that he didn't die for our sins, but he died in an act that would allow him to do something which would allow us to be redeemed from our sins. He didn't redeem us from our sins himself. He allowed us a pathway towards redemption. And that is through repentance. That is through changing our lives. It is not simply by what he did that we are redeemed. It is what he did that allowed us to find the path of redemption. So what he did didn't free us of our sins. No, what he did allows us to change our lives and actually have that change affect our eternity. Before, we didn't have that option. Before we were bound to a place of darkness spiritually, that's what I believe. You're asking me what I believe. I'm telling you, it's much more complicated than Jesus simply died for my sins, right? Now, you want me to explain all that? I can go further down this path, but
no, I don't think
simply put, I believe something different than what most Christians believe.
Right. And here's my, this is my ultimate point there. You literally have who you think is the same spirit that walked on this earth 2000 years ago. And rather than asking him or trying to find answers through him, you're still believing things as they come to you. To me, that doesn't make any sense. And you're rewriting what the entire story of the Bible is. You've gotten to such a point where you're so hooked into this. Like it's got its hooks sunk so deep in you that you're willing to go through an untold amount of mental gymnastics to make all of this fit into the narrative that you follow. And I hope that one day you take a step back and you look at just the entangled web that you are in, because you are in a web, my friend, a web like I have never seen before. It's none of this makes sense. The examples of evidence don't make sense. They're anecdotes. There's nothing hard fact about it. There's a lot of backing up or trying to rewrite history or make things retrofit. It doesn't make sense. And you seem highly intelligent. Like, that's the thing. You seem like you're a highly intelligent person. And I just don't understand how you got wrapped up into the level that you are in. I mean, I really don't.
Okay. Is that a question or are you insulting my intelligence? No. I don't understand what you're saying with that.
If you paid attention to what I said, if you pay attention to what I said, you would understand. If you paid attention to what I was saying,
intelligent, and that's that much is
you would understand that I wasn't insulting you. I was expressing my distraught at the level to which you are involved in something that, on its face, is just bullshit. I mean, that's me being level with you. All of this is bullshit.
All right, let me be level
everything
with you.
That you have put forth is bullshit.
Excuse me. Let me be level with you.
The meme was good. The meme was good. The meme was the only thing tonight that was good.
All right.
I like that.
John Batiste, Emmanuel Zorg. Let me be clear with you. Let me be frank. All right. I'll be frank. Sure. You be Zorg.
Sure.
Stuart Chase said this. I'm going to quote him. For those who believe, no proof is necessary. For those who don't believe, no proof is possible. Let that sink in.
It doesn't fit here, I'm afraid.
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. I'm providing you with immense amounts of evidence, scriptural, public source documentation, news sources, scientific sources. I've given you an immense amount of information.
I've not seen any of these.
Don't cut me off. I'm still talking.
I haven't said anything in a long time.
Can I finish what I'm saying at this very moment?
Well, I mean, but I haven't spoken in probably 25 minutes.
Dr. Bowen, we're going to go to you next. Dr. Bowen, let him finish his thought. Okay. And
all right.
And
I'll respond to your quibble there, doctor. You want to have an opportunity to speak here. The show is not about you. This show is about my Lord. I am here to speak.
Well, hold on. All right? Dave, will you mute our guest? Let me explain something to you, Clark, let me explain something to you. You can't wait till the last minute to get fiery. This is my show and Steve's show. It's not about what you want or what anyone else in this show wants, but what we want. And if I want to hear from Dr. Bowen, I will call on Dr. Bowen, and I won't think a thing about how you feel about it. Is that clear? Now, if you want to finish your thought, you can go ahead. But don't come on here acting like some diva and that I'm going to kowtow to you, because I'm not in a heartbeat.
I'm just reading the title of your show. The title of today's episode doesn't say anything about doctor's reply. It says Lord Rael follower rebuttal.
But that's not your concern. That's not your concern. That's my concern. You worry about answering. You worry about providing me evidence. When you can provide me evidence, I'll worry about what your opinion means in terms of the grand scheme of this show. But until you can get past that first point, don't come over here trying to tell me how to run my show. In fact, now I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say. Dr. Bowen, please go ahead and say what you want to say about that quote.
I guess my thought is, how do you explain me? I mean, I understand, you know, the quote is a general principle, right? And I agree with the general principle of the quote. You know, and I actually think it works against you in this case, because I think it says something. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? It speaks to you as much as it speaks to us. But how would you explain me? Because see, when I left Capital Bible Seminary, which, you know, I'm extraordinarily rigorous linguistic training, but it was a fundamentalist evangelical school, right? I mean, it's where I got my thesis on the divine name El Shaddai in the Hebrew Bible. The preface and one of the presuppositions was that Moses wrote the five books of the Old Testament. Well, I mean, that's pretty significant from a conservative standpoint. So I left that seminary going into Hopkins saying to people, I'm going into the lion's den. I'm going to win souls for Christ. And when I got into that school halfway through the first semester, I was fighting internally, kicking and screaming, saying, this can't be right. This evidence can't be right. The archaeological evidence can't be right. The linguistic evidence can't be right. The Bible there aren't these parallels that I'm seeing. This can't be right. And ultimately, I was just overwhelmed by the evidence and had to say, okay, I guess that's true. So the quote doesn't apply to me. And I would wonder how you would explain something like that.
How the quote actually applies to anyone in the audience, even including yourself. Can you guys hear me okay while you got me on video?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So to explain the point where it would apply to anybody, both you said it's a double-edged sword, and it could apply to me. I entertain that notion that I could be wrong about anything. And in fact, I see no absolute truths except what's quantifiable science. Even news sources can be wrong. Let's face the facts here. They have been wrong. But at the same time, I don't see any quantifiable proof that the method of Torah code research that we've done is wrong. And I've seen so many open challenges to so-called Torah code experts, Bible code experts, that won't touch this topic of Lord Rael with a 10-foot pole, because quite obviously, and I've spoken to Rabbi Mediyahu Glazerson myself, one of the top Torah code experts, he's afraid to touch this topic because of what it will do to his following. The facts speak for themselves with this topic, and even the Torah code experts from outside of our group will not touch the topic of Lord Rael. Now, at the same time, we're talking about the things that Lord Rael said he was going to do and things that followed shortly thereafter. I can't deny any of that. And like I told you before, 5 years ago, before I ever became a part of this group, I denied it. I denied it because it seemed crazy. And all the things that people were saying about it was either one side or the other. It was either it's lies and he's the Antichrist, or it's true and he's the returned Christ. And I was like caught in between here, not knowing which way to turn, but I was leaning towards denying because just the fact that logically it seemed so crazy, but I had to review the evidence to make sure, because I felt like I had a moral obligation to find out if he was lying or if he was telling the truth. And if all these things they were calling as proof were actually proof or just simply anecdotal and didn't matter. Now, a lot of these things in context of the proof around it is exactly what I'm telling you it is. It's proof, it's evidence. By itself, it could seem irrelevant, but it's not by itself. There's an immense amount of evidence around it. Option, right,
Mark? Your logic is kind of flawed here. Those are not the only options.
Hear what you said.
Those are not the only options. If he could be mistaken, because if he even exists, to mental reasons, doesn't have to be lying. And the fact that he just could be wrong. You're suggesting that he was lying. He's the Antichrist. You said he's the Antichrist.
Right. That's
the real Christ,
actually
basically.
That was the that's that your was the part I was talking that's to you about. No, I told you I was caught in between, and that is the point in between. What you were talking about,
the point
about
in between
him being
is just,
the possibility of him being crazy or a bunch of these people being deceived in one way or another, whether or not it's Antichrist or Christ, or just some crazy guy who makes up things or might believe half of the things he's saying or most of the things he's saying or all the things he's saying. Those are the parts in between that I'm talking about. And that's where I was stuck in the middle going, okay, this all seems crazy. I already made that much clear. That's what I thought until I reviewed the evidence. Now, what you guys have done, you've glimpsed the evidence. And we would hope that you would go beyond that and actually review the evidence. And not just the bits and pieces that I'm showing you here, but the evidence that we present all throughout our groups. We've got, I can plug a web page that shows an extensive amount of evidence all on one web page. And that's sanctuaryinterfaith.org. Sanctuaryinterfaith.org. There's also rael.org, rael.org. And if your media guy can put up both of those two pages, sanctuaryinterfaith.org, rael.org, rael.org, so that your audience can see what those pages really look like. There they will see evidence. And also we have a Facebook congregation. Thank you.
I'll put it in the description.
And the Facebook congregation, I can send you all these links. There's a Facebook congregation. There's a Torah code group. Those places you can talk to the clergy directly and they will give you solid answers. Now, I told you at the beginning of this episode, I told everyone that much of what I say is my own opinion. And much of what I say is relayed as evidence from the clergy and also from Lord Rael and his people, the people that are closest to him. You guys have to be able to discern the difference between my opinion and what I'm presenting as evidence. Now, when you're asking me what I believe, you're asking my opinion.
Right. I get, but you're acting as a spokesperson for him. Now, you are friends with Lord Rael. I mean, you know him personally, correct? Or are you getting the information?
I have not met him face to face.
Have you talked to him personally?
None of our people have met him face to face.
Okay.
It's a fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew 24. No, it's no problem for me. Okay. I would expect that he not show his face to us because that's according to prophecy. We're not supposed to know his location.
Do you know where his accent's from?
The way that it was explained to me was that his accent is a mix of past life memories.
William Shakespeare, that makes sense. That makes sense now. That actually makes sense. It does, because it does sound like the 1500 style of England. You know what I mean?
There's been people who say that it sounds a little bit like that and a little bit like something else and this, that, and the other. The reason for that is because it's not particularly from one incarnation. It's from a multitude of incarnations.
Did you see my face in the sun yesterday?
Yeah, it doesn't sound natural, actually. It sounds very unnatural as far as accents. But I'm not an accent expert, but it does sound contrived.
Okay.
It definitely sound contrived.
Steve, get the super chats ready. We're going to let these two gentlemen wrap up any last-minute thoughts. If you will send me those links, I'll put them in the description. You will also be able to find Digital Hammurabi down in the description if you want to check out more of their work, and also a link to their Patreon where you can get really cool perks like Dr. Bowen does a bunch of papers that you can go in and read and be a part of a really cool thing. They also teach Sumerian, so if you're interested in learning how to write and read Sumerian, they teach it's a free class, I believe, right, Dr. Bowen?
Indeed it is.
So you can go and learn that for free and check that out. And really cool. They do a lot of really cool stuff over there. So we'll start with you, Dr. Bowen, if you will give us any last-minute thoughts that you have, takeaways, whatever you want to know. And then Shield, plug your channel, all that stuff.
Roger that. So thank you all very much for having me on, Clark. Thank you for coming on. I know this was it couldn't have been easy. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you responding in kind to my tone. I think it's good that these things get a little bit fiery because I think probably the situation calls for it. You can find, just to talk about our channel, and Kyle, thank you for talking about it. One of the things that we do, I'm an Assyriologist, a PhD from Johns Hopkins. Ancient Sumerian and Akkadian, it's what we do. Megan is writing on royal inscriptions from the third and second millennia. And of course I have extensive background in the Hebrew Bible and Greek New Testament. So, we have, if you want to learn biblical Hebrew, we have courses, free courses on there. If you want to learn ancient Sumerian, please come and take it. You can email me, digitalhammurabi@gmail.com, with any questions, and I interact with all my students. We have a Patreon where all the money goes directly to sending a PhD student to a summer research program. And in fact, whatever money that Patreon takes from your donation, we chip in from our own personal funds to make sure that if you give $100, $100 goes to the student. So please check us out. Thank you guys again very, very much. Clark, thank you very much. It's been a good time.
Excellent. All right, Clark, whenever you're ready.
To thank and also Dr. Bowen for on with us. I appreciate lifetime research, and I hope that we can share research. If you'd like to this conversation further, and I would not mind on your show again.
You're breaking up. You know, you're breaking up bad. Breaking up bad.
All right. So. If I could just start again,
sure.
I'd like to thank your audience and the hosts and you, Dr. Bowen, for interviewing me. And, you know, even though I don't exactly agree with a lot of your opinions about scripture and about the evidence that I presented, I think that there was some progress made today, at least from my perspective. And I think that many of the clergy of Lord Royale would agree to that. I don't know how your audience would feel. And if I do seem adversarial, it's because we as a group do not have a high regard for atheists. People who cannot recognize intelligent design and convince themselves that the most impossible biological technology came about by accidents or explosions over and over again are just a little too simple to have a meaningful dialogue with. So there is a little bit of frustration there at the root of this conversation.
Okay, Dave, cut him off. Cut him off, Dave.
So we tend to pity.
Clark the door. Show Clark the door. I'm not going to be told by some guy that. Hold on. I'm not going to be told by some dipshit that saw Lord Ryle's face in a fucking sun image or hurricanes that pass over him. I'm not going to be called simple by you. Fuck you. Fuck you. And thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's kind of really a shit move to do. I mean, the very end of hanging in for 3 hours, you basically fuck it all away and piss it away by trying to bag on an entire group of people. And by the way, I'm not atheist. Josh is not atheist. So the only atheist in here is Kyle. And so I don't know why you would decide to, at the very end, pull a dick move like that.
Yeah.
You know, you know who else does that, buddy? If you're watching this in retrospect, Steve Harvey, you're just as smart Steve fucking Harvey. So you just put yourself on the same level as that fucktard. Got it.
Yeah, you're gonna a guy that's gonna call us atheists simple, coming from someone that buys into the fact that their reincarnated Jesus sends prophecy via Twitter through Madonna. With the song Frozen. Are you fucking kidding me? You are dumber than simple. You are what I call
the Madonna thing, right?
The master apologist. You are a human kazoo. All you are good for is making a lot of noise and being really annoying, but your sole purpose is nothing. Okay? We're not simple. We're asking you these questions that you couldn't answer. You could not give a reasonable answer to anything that we asked you tonight, other than the fact that, oh, well, I just believe it, or I see his face in the sun, or hurricanes split across, or I found all of these words in this big Bible code that someone else was able to reproduce and find that our deity was shit and that he was actually the savior. And they verified that code. How dumb are you? And you're going to call somebody simple? Fuck you! Literally, fuck
and
you.
And you know he's talking about it by explosions. He's talking about intelligent design. I like I said, I'm happy to have a discussion if he thinks that intelligent design is a legit thing. I'll talk about teleomy and theological things all day long. And I just don't grasp this notion that if you don't recognize intelligent design, which is bullshit, and I can show that it's bullshit, that you're not intelligent. You're looking at things and you're suffering from things like apophenia and pareidolia and all these other types of fallacies, and you're telling entire group of people. And by the way, I'm very critical of atheists too, but not because of their beliefs. I just think that they shoot themselves in the foot sometimes. But I stand by the fact that I don't have a belief in God. They don't have a belief in God. And they certainly, most of them are, the vast majority are very critical thinkers. And so to shit on them makes literally no sense to me, because they are the ones saying, we're asking you to kind of give us some reason to change our position. And all you provided is the most anecdotal bullshit that I've ever seen, compared to things just like back in the day with, you know, Chariots of the Gods and Search of Ancient Astronauts and all the other woo-woo shit that's been going on for 49 years of my life. I think that was a really dick move, though. Because, I mean, you know, I was just going to compliment him by saying he's held in for there for 3 hours. And then he pulls this. I'm very disappointed,
well,
actually.
I have heard flat earthers that made more sense than the bullshit that he was spewing off to us for that entire 3 hours. Everything that the guy put forth was, and I was trying to be as nice as I possibly could. I thought very civil, even though in the inside I was dying. Like, everything that he was saying was just like tearing pieces of my soul apart. Like, how could people fall for this thing? And I made the mistake of saying that you seem like you're somewhat intelligent. I take that back. You're a douchebag. And you have fallen for something on such a grand scale that no one can really be blamed but you, because if you're that dumb and you fall for that kind of shit, then the blame's on you. So fuck you. And that was fun. Thanks for the 3 hours, dickhead. All right, let's do super chats.
All right, super chats. ESO, $2. Is that two steps from hell music? Probably. Yes. Without a crystal ball, by the way, if you haven't checked her out, go check out her blog on Patheos. Fuck, it's good. But it's $2. She says, fake news, all in capitals. Yeah. Jake3D, $2. Oh, exciting. We finally get proof for God, please. Well, sorry, Jake3D. We didn't. I don't think we even got...
Yeah.
Now, in the broadest case, he's submitting it as evidence, but we've shot down all his evidence as not being evidential. There's literally nothing to it. It's just not evidence in the,
full
in the form
of shit.
Of actually swayable stuff. Yeah, it's just complete bullshit.
Bullshit.
Andrew, £5. Oh, the world's gone to shit in the last few years, and the Bible said the world would go to shit, although in a completely different ways, therefore God. Yeah, that's a good point, Josh. You were reading something earlier, and we unfortunately glazed over it, but you were talking about very specific conditions. I was talking about what was happening with the earth, and he said it was funny because he said you know you're reading further on in context, as if that was a problem, because none of those things happen.
Well, you remember when he said
intellectual,
when he said that Jesus fucked up people, he that's the one true thing that he said.
Intellectual icon. Go ahead, Josh.
I won't belabor this. Sorry, but again, I think the point here is that I'm not against, if you do what the New Testament authors do with Old Testament prophecy, then his assertions, their assertions, I can't be against them, right? Because if you read some of the New Testament, the way that the New Testament authors interpret Old Testament prophecies, they do it in ways that pull the Old Testament prophecy out of context, right? And so I can't fault somebody today for doing that if they embrace that worldview. I think all of it's ridiculous, but and that was the point that I was trying to make. But you can't go back to the Matthew 24 or Revelation 8 and reread the original to say something else. Mm-hmm. You have to let it stand. You have to let Isaiah 7:14. The New Testament author had to let Isaiah 7:14 talk about a kid back then. But then you have a double meaning, right? You have a double prophecy that's interpreted a different way. That's all I was saying.
Okay. Intellectual iconoclasm. $5. I'm not going to be able to do this well, but Shatner's voice. What does God need with a secret code? You know, like, what does God need?
That was horrible, Steve. That was horrible.
You want to give it a shot? Go ahead.
What does God need with a secret code?
Okay, that's better.
You should talk like that all the time.
I kind of like that. I think you should too.
What does God need with
a secret code?
Well, you know, I said the same thing. I'm like, why? If this is Jesus, why is he using a code? I don't understand the need for that. I don't know why he's going back and saying, "Hey, look, I'm speaking in a code here. I'm showing you a satellite picture," or just, it's nonsensical from start to finish. It's
and why does he? And why does he talk like this in this particular verse from the 1400s? It's so bizarre. Look, you can see my face in the sun.
Isn't it supposed to be King Arthur? Arthur is one of the reincarnations.
Yeah.
Can you hear now? Oh my goodness! Would you turn up that Madonna song? This song kicks ass. I think I'll create a glacier event to this. Have you seen the movie Frozen?
I was cool with the Madonna thing. The Frozen, then I lost it. No, I'm kidding. I'm thinking to myself, how can anybody actually think this is legitimate shit? I don't understand.
Steve,
how
you just got to let really it go, man. You got to let it go.
Dear Lord, very nice, Dr. Bowen. Dear Lord, how will you communicate with us? Will you write it on scrolls? Will you do it from a mountaintop? No, actually. I'll do it in 140 characters or less on Twitter.
He has 280 now. All right, moving on. We got a lot of super chats to get through. Orlor, $5. So God hides his messages in word search puzzles. Yes, in Sudoku, clearly. Brian Stevens, $2. Quote: You're showing it is what you want to show. Irony. Yeah, I mean that was what Josh pointed out. You basically are finding what you want to find, and I think Josh made a very good case for that. I mean that's exactly what it was. I mean S. McCray is Yahweh. So, yeah, I mean, I got promoted from Pope from agnosticism to Yahweh. Thank you there, by the way, Dr. Bowen. Appreciate that. That's a hell of a promotion, man. You know, give me your 10%.
Steve, before that, you read the next one. Dave, can you find that that clip of Lord Rael? People in the live chat want to hear what he sounds like. Actually, I'll send it to you. But, yes, we will play that. Just a little bit of it.
And while you're doing that, do you want to throw that image of me up on the screen too? That Dr. Griffith sent? That'd be cool. Yeah. So I guess Dr. Griffith, me. It's actually a Holman Roman emperor. So I went from apostasism to a Holy Roman Emperor to Yahweh. I'm making progress, people. Awesome. I'm moving up.
Dr. Griffith, if you're watching this, send that to me.
Oh, no, don't. I don't know what Kyle would do with it.
Steve, really I feel like don't. I can see your face in that.
Misha doesn't need to send it to him. I can send it to him. How about that, Kyle?
That works. Yeah, that works.
What Kyle's going to do with it, I'm scared now. Okay, while you're getting that audio clip, Brian Stevens, $2. Tell him to stop saying statistics, please. Yeah, I think he was abusing that word statistics quite a bit. Ghostly Enigma, $5. Anyone bringing up the fact that you can do this with any book that has ever been written, even War and Peace? Yeah, there's an argument from War and Peace where they've done something like that, where they've done analysis from War and Peace and other books. If the book is big enough, and I guess you get set the search parameters to whatever your skip is or whatever, you can find just about anything you're looking for, right, Dr. Bowen? Is that kind of the rule of thumb?
I mean, I'm definitely not an expert in this, but that was my experience playing around with it, you know?
Okay. 0132132. And by the way, 0132, thank you very much for keeping my feet to the fire. This guy really goes out of his way to hold me accountable and in a good way, and I appreciate you that for that. He says, miracle request. Can Lord Rael provide a counterexample to the Goldbach conjecture? Thank you, Lord. And by the way, the Goldbach conjecture has not been it's one way or another, they don't know, but if anybody wonders what that means by that, if I remember, it's 6 would be 3 plus 3, 8 would be 5 plus 3, and etc. So that's the Goldbach conjecture. And it's still a conjecture. It's not proven one way or another. And that was for 777. Thank you. And by the way, Landon, if he's listening, if I get that messed up like I did on the probability thing, let me know. Brian Stevens, $5. There are 3,116,480 characters in the Bible. Do you understand how many permutations are possible using this? My estimates are, 8.3 times 10 raised to the 1,876,307. Wow. That's if anybody knows math, that number is so high, it's not even
seems right.
That's
remotely
comprehensible. That's basically impossible statistically.
The number of atoms in the universe, if I remember correctly, is 10 raised to the 43 or something like that. So that gives you, this is 10 raised to the millionth. I mean, that's a lot of permutations. Right.
It's a ludicrously large number.
Dave, and then can we play the thing about just the first 30 seconds of that real quick? Go ahead, Dr. Bowen.
So I was just going to say, and the thing about Semitic languages like Hebrew is that they're trilateral roots, right? So, you know, words are made up of three letters. So you can find like Membechin, it's three letter root. So you can find, and the thing is, if you point them differently, if you put different vowels on them, they can mean different things. You can, I mean, you really can find just so much.
Yeah, by the way, 10 to the 80 is the number of atoms in the universe. 10 to the 80. So this is 10 to the millionth. So what does that tell you? It's a lot,
Steve,
of permutations.
Take a break just a second. Let's hear this guy talk, and then you can pick back up. We're only listening to a couple seconds of this. I know people were asking about wanting to hear how he sounds. So this is.
Wait, no, wait. Lord Rael. Kyle, I'm not ready with that clip. I don't know what clip you're talking about.
Oh, I sent it to you in Facebook. The link's there.
You did. Okay, let me see here.
All right, go ahead, Steve, while he gets that ready.
Okay. Brian Stevens, please don't say the null hypothesis. Yeah, Brian Stevens knows
null hypothesis. About that. Null hypothesis. ASMR.
Steve, are we doing an ASMR thing now?
Lord Rael is your God.
Steven Steen, $5. God hasn't said anything about Bible code. Stop saying that. Unless you can cite chapter and verse, I'll wait. Yeah, I don't think there's anything in the Bible about that. Josh, anything in the Bible?
This would be Lord Rael ASMR, my child.
Sorry,
I've come to save you.
Is there anything in the Bible about Bible code?
Yeah, does anything in the Bible that says that there's stuff in the, there's something that says, hey, if you read this, you're going to find something biblically in a code? Which is, I think is more of a cipher in a way, because it's a letter by letter transcription. So I think it's more of a cipher, but whatever. Okay, so Nate says, for $2, Dryel, you're over your pay grade, bub. Well, people are paying him money. And by the way, you always notice this, and I hate to break out the obvious because everybody's aware of this, but there's always money involved. 10% may not sound like a lot, but 10% is still money. I mean, there's still always money involved. It just kind of goes
with
the game.
Isn't there a God coin?
He has a God coin. Yeah, I think he has isn't it a cyber currency of some kind? Or something like that? Or he meant something? He's made some kind of currency, hasn't he? Or there is some kind of God coin. Yeah. It's going to be the...
Dave. Go ahead, Steve. I didn't know you finished.
It's going to be the currency of the future once you move out of the States.
Dave, it's right before you sent the Steve pictures. I'm looking at it right now. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Ash for $5 or £5. Why would a heavenly being in the body of a modern American speak with a fake British accent? Badly faked at that. Well, that's a good segue for this then. If Dave's got it ready.
Dave, you ready?
Yeah, hold on. Give me a second. Just give me a second. I think I got it. If I could get this thing.
Well, while we're waiting, can I just wish a happy birthday to Goddess Engineer? He's he's 48 now. I'm going to go with that. I don't
happy
know.
Birthday,
how old is the Goddess Engineer? Like 28 or something? He's not that old. 30, maybe?
And I am your lord. And I have arrived, as promised, to reclaim the throne of my father.
God,
just as my sun now rises.
Okay.
Yeah, get that off. Yeah.
Bye. I am sorry. I'm not an expert on this yet, but there's no way that sounds legit to me. No way.
No. Just as thy sun
Kyle's
rises.
Kyle's accent sounds more legit. You sound more legit,
real,
Kyle.
I'm actually the real.
You're the... Boy, wouldn't that be the greatest shit if find out Kyle actually started this whole Lord Rael thing just so he could have an episode on today? That would be the fucking greatest, man.
Bring me my beer, wench.
That'd be the thing of legend.
Yes.
Do we have any people that they're experts in? Do we have anybody that are experts in accents? I mean, do we even know anybody?
Is that even a thing? I don't think there's really a thing. There's no accent
well, I'm
expert.
Sure. I don't know.
So what a waste of a... What would you do with that? Oh, he sounds like he's...
Well,
there
has to be somebody that understands the derivation of these languages. You know, so. Yeah, no, it's a forced accent. There's no question about that. I'm convinced of that beyond all doubt. Okay, God's servant, $10. God is, this is capitalized, so all caps. God is real, and his name is Jesus. Be baptized in Jesus' name, Acts 2:38. Thank you, God's servant. We'll take your $10 and be happy to announce that. There you go. For another $5, thank you, God's servant. God is real, and his name is Jesus. Be baptized in Jesus' name, Act 28. Again, so twice. Okay.
It's interesting that he picks Acts 2:38.
I don't know what it says. Do you?
Yeah, it's Peter's Pentecostal address. It's just interesting. It's like you would expect something like 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 or Ephesians 2:8-9 or something. But it's interesting.
Paul Peter?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a lot of Christians out there that say you don't need to be baptized? I mean, they can't seem to.
Yeah, that's
to
why
come it's, to a consensus on that.
It seems to maybe tip his hand a little bit about what he believes. I don't know that, but it's just an interesting passage.
I think it was Paul Peter.
Thanks. We have a semi-expert in the live chat. Her name is Megan. I think Josh might actually know her. She says, the non-sequitur show, I'm not an accent specialist, but as a Brit, I would be very surprised if that guy has even set foot on British soil in any incarnation. That's about as brilliant as you get. I'm gonna, you know, how do you get better than that?
Of Jason King, when you boot someone off the show, they can't wait to respond or to send you a message. Like, they don't get the fact that you should just not text me or call me, because I'm gonna read what you send me and I'm gonna play what you leave on my voicemail to the masses, and I'm gonna give you shit for it. But let's hear what he has to say. You ready? You have my personal condolences and sympathy for the chastisement that comes to you and your people from God. In the name of Rael, may peace be with you. Well, sir, tell Rael he can go fuck himself. If he is the God, he can suck my cock. How about that? How about that chastisement? Eat a bag of dicks, both of you. Okay,
see if we can make through some of these more. Vibrantly, $5. Yay. No one can predict the weather a week in advance through any type of scientific means, then find a code that fits a week in advance. Thanks, guys. Well, I think we have actually model predictions that go actually a month or so. I mean, we can predict a week out, but it's, you know, it's a prediction like anything else, right? Jake 3D, $2. Right, wrong, he's a jackass representing his faith. Well, you know, like I said, I was going to give him props to the very end when he threw out that shit about atheists and stuff like that. Even I was like, come on, that's just a dick move to wait to the very end to start a dumpster like that. I mean, say that at the beginning so at least we can address it. I'm not going to spend another hour engaging with him to show him that intelligent design is a bunch of bullshit, because I can. But Kent Hovind, CPA, one of my favorite people, of $2. That means he really liked the show. Remember, if he gives us a dollar, It's a decent show. If he gives us two, primo. He says light moves at speed of Tarik Hill. Is that a reference to what is a reference for Tarik Hill? Lord of the Rings thing?
You mean Lorne Hill?
No, T Y R E E K. Oh, I know Tarik Hill. He's on the he's a football player.
He's in the NFL. Kansas City. Yeah,
Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. I was like, is that some kind of like Lord of the Rings thing? Cajun Crustacean, $2. Are Rael and his cheerleaders young earth creationists? I don't know.
Who gives a fuck?
I don't think it's a shtick. Yeah, I don't think it's a shtick. Stars over Stalingrad.
I was going to say, I don't think they would be given that. Yeah, I think they adhere to something akin to Sitchin. So ancient aliens.
Gotcha.
The sensible thing.
Aliens, yeah. Stars over Stalingrad, $5. As a Christian, it sounds to me like Lord Rael is a person who loves mercy, who love and mercy are strangers. I think a lot of things are strange to him, like critical thinking.
Reality.
Look, I'm not one to diss on people's beliefs. You know me, I'm like the least one. But this is up there of just bullfuckery. I mean, certain things like Scientology, woo-woo science, homeopathy, MMR, all that crap. Yeah, I'm going to come down on it. It's just straight up bullshit.
This is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard.
Goes away when it comes to that.
At the end, when he said that you can believe anything that you want to believe, don't read into the Bible saying that Jesus didn't die for
right? sin.
What the fuck are you talking about? You are an idiot. Like you call us.
Does that kind of change the whole narrative that people have been saying for 2,000 years?
I don't think you know what simple means, my friend. I don't think you know what simple means at all. And what you call evidence, I don't think you know what that means either. Truth, I don't think you know what that means. Facts, don't think you know what that means. There's a lot of things I don't think you know what it means, but whatever. Let's get through this.
I'm kind of curious real quick. Josh, I got only a few left to read, I think. But Josh, real quick, are there any Christian denominations that don't believe Christ was divine or rose from the dead? If there are, I'm not aware of any.
Divine.
Somehow relating to God. Maybe necessarily either God or Son of God, but somehow has more than just a man. Be Christian.
Not that I know of. I mean, they do ascribe to him some sort of divinity.
Okay. Stephen Stein, $2. Well, I'm convinced. Where do I sign up? Well, you know what? He gave all that information. And we're going to put the links in the video description to his stuff. We're not against people checking it out because I think it does. Yeah, no, I'm not against it because look at people that go look at his shit. Because of the shithead he did. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I'm not against anybody go checking it out because nobody in their right mind is going to go look at this shit and go, oh, yeah, I believe this now. Nobody. And for everyone that does, a billion will be like, no, that's bullshit. So.
Yeah, I agree. I have no issue putting the opposing side's links in the description. I do it every show. But when you're gonna believe that bullshit that he believes and then call me simple, in no way am I gonna plug your crazy wacko bullshit religion. You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And by the way, somebody said in the live chat, Mormons don't believe in his divinity. The fuck they don't. Mormons think that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's divine. That's just
Joe Clark. Come on, man.
The weirdest things. Okay, we gotta get through these. Hoosier, atheist, $5. The plural of antidote isn't. ANEC's data?
Sure.
The plural of anecdote isn't anecdata?
The plural of anecdote is not anecdata.
Anecdata. Is that what he said? Anecdata? I didn't catch that. He said anecdata.
Yeah, he said anecdata.
I've never heard of that. Okay. Carrie 801, $5. I sincerely hope that you can leave this cult, Clark. Best wishes, and please get out of this cult. I'm going to say the same thing. Yeah, I don't see how it's not a cult.
Not me.
To me, I think that it's every bit a cult. And I use that word very selectively. I'm not a big fan of that word. But in this particular case, I think it's fits, right? It's apropos.
Stay in it, Clark. Stay in it for a long time. I wish you the best with Lord Rael.
Do you think that him staying in it actually doing more damage than good?
I don't really care, to be honest with you.
His goal?
I think there's so many that no one... Only the crazy people are going to take them seriously.
Do you know how many people? Do you know how many of them are? Oh, do you have an estimate?
90.
90. Boy, that's really effective. If there's 90 people out of 7 billion that follow this guy.
Oh man, yeah.
That's wow. I mean, clearly he's got something on the ball there. I mean, that's statistically so insignificant. We got 90 people that clearly have mental issues. Omega, $6.50.
Three times watching this show. Or four times that we had many was watching this show. Yeah, five times so his congregation times, were watching this show.
Whatever. Five times, yeah, five times it would be. Wow. Omega, $6. This seems like a wish fulfillment of FU mom generation. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Steven again, $2. I'm converted. Trump, build a wall, please, fast. Full of Joy, $10. Thank you, Full of Joy. Full of Joy says, this show is so vital. Constantly calling out crap like this is incredibly important. Keep it up. And we do appreciate that. We appreciate all the Patreons that donate to us for that purpose. If you can, links for Patreon and Streamlabs all in the video description as well. We have a Patreon thing tomorrow, I believe. So
yes,
come join
us. Big one tomorrow where we're going to be going Eastern? Through the Golden Nun. 4:00.
4 Eastern, right? Yeah, okay.
4:00.
So yeah, come join us for that. The more the merrier. 0132132, $5 again. If a share video counts as a prediction, then any cryptic bullshit should count. Yeah. Dude, Rush, I tell you, I get a lot of predictions from Rush. Yeah, Rush is very prophetic. So KYN New York Upstate, $2. The Bibleco pattern just sunk my battleship. Another one from KW, $2. Ha,
that was clever. That was clever.
The Bibleco pattern just sunk my battleship.
That was good. I appreciate that.
He says for another $2, Ra'el is real. He's the father of Kyle from Superman. Ah,
yeah, right.
See what you did there.
Is that do you hear my accent? My father was either Toby Keith or Dale Earnhardt. Those are just really the first two country people that I could come up with.
Or Dale Earnhardt and Keith Urban had a baby or something.
Oh, Keith Urban, yeah. Well, I would want him to be my daddy in a different way.
I bet you do. Well, this went south real quick. James Harvey, $5. If the Lord and his son are all powerful.
That's the standard, Steve? Making a daddy joke? Fuck you. Fuck you too.
That is the standard. If the Lord and his son are all powerful, why do they need the money? Why do they not provide for their clergy? It's all a scam. It's all about money. And I said that earlier. There's always money involved, right?
Usually.
Or your $5. I seem to remember another cult leaving the United States because they felt they were persecuted. It didn't win well for them. A kid new five again, $5.55. Bravo, Kyle. My prophecy. This comes to nothing. It joins the dung heap of that is all modern day prophecy. 555. Yeah, this will be.
Oh, saltpeter. Saltpeter.
Nobody will know who this group is in a while.
What a fucked Immortal up week Sirens, it's been on this show.
It has been. Immortal Sirens, no comment, but she says she gives us $10 Australian. Thank you, Immortal Sirens. Lamont for $2 says, I'm going to let you finish in a minute. # Kyle West. Vegan Atheist, $2. Will nice. Clark please take Dr. Bowen's classes? He sounds like he needs to. Yeah. Oh, we're almost done with these. We're getting close. Dr. Zayas, $5. What is Rael's favorite Madonna song, and does he think Madonna is better than Elton John?
Vogue. Sabrina. Like a Virgin.
Like a Virgin. Sarah Bia, $2. What's the name of the spirit in Rael of Crown? Not sure what that means. Dr. Bowen of Crown?
Bullshit. No. That's the name of the spirit. Bullshit.
The name of the spirit? I mean, he was initially Enlil. So, I mean, Enlil became... Jesus became, I think... God, I hate MS.
Is it weird or telling that I saw that super chat go by and I thought of Crown Royal? Anyway.
No, because I thought the same thing.
Crown Royal. Okay. I can... Yeah, maybe.
Because spirit and crown... It makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, no, I get it. Crown Royal. No, I think you're right. Jake 3D, $5. I'm disappointed again. No proof for God, any God, just a poor brainwashed soul. I pity Rael's followers. Maybe next one. We'll keep trying. The God was Iowan, $2. He's not a savior. He's a very naughty boy. That sounds like the God was Iowan. Yeah.
Gross that you even made me think about him in that way.
He's got nice hair. Joseph Clark, $5. Could you guys bring on a legit scholastic theologian like Dr. Edwin Fesser? That would be fascinating. I'm not related to that poor fool, by the way. I'm not sure who that is.
Look into it.
Okay. And Math Magic Pagan, £5. Sergei Antolovich Troarp, The Other Second Coming of Jesus. So there's another one. Was it a Russian version? How many different Jesuses are there out there?
Too goddamn many.
All right, that is all of them. Oh.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank Dr. Bowen for coming by and being on the show. It was really great to have you, and we enjoyed, as always, you being a part. Normally, this is the part of the show where I unload a 2-minute summary or a takeaway, but. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to let us all sit in this disgusting, misery, sticky feeling of regret and despair and just sheer astonishment at what we all witnessed here today. I think we need to lay in it to remind us that we are human and that these things can happen. If you get too far gone down a rabbit hole, you can have people tell you that Madonna and Frozen and Twitter is the new way that God gives prophecy or that he appears in sons. In fact, we have the people who believe in Santa Claus coming up in a couple of weeks. I actually am looking forward to them after tonight. They literally are below. Yeah, they literally are below that. So thank you, Lord Ryle's cult, for coming on and showing us what we all knew to be true, that you were just full of you were a Jesus lookalike with a nutty ideology and a horrible accent. Let's work on the basics, like the look and the sound, before we start moving into the prophecies, because what can happen when you skip over those is you wind up doing things like predicting the end times with Madonna. Fuck you. Thank you all for watching. We love you to death. And for our patrons, we'll see you tomorrow at 4. Don't forget we have Ad Homies at 7. And then we'll be back with the crazy when a gentleman will tell you that Bruce Lee is a government hoax, that NASAlies.org is his domain, and that, most importantly, the Earth is fucking flat. Come high. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good night.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.